Welcome to the ASTD podcast. We're counting down the days to our November 12th conference at the River Center in St. Paul. Our featured speakers are Dr. Mitch Cusey, author of Fast Forward Leadership, and Dr. Elizabeth Holloway, author of Systems Approach to Supervision. And they're joining us on the line right now, and they have a very interesting topic close to my heart, managing toxic personalities and their systems of power. That's a very interesting title. Tell me, what is a toxic personality?
We could give you the formal definition of a toxic personality, which is someone who engages in counterproductive behaviors but in the workplace. But there's also the many different adjectives that were used when we did our interviews with leaders and how they described toxic. Mitch, maybe you want to add some of that.
Yeah, well, what's interesting about what you just said, I'm thinking about our research study that you and I did, Elizabeth, with 500 leaders nationally. And one of the interesting things with the question that you just raised is that while we have a formal definition, as Elizabeth said, we often found that we didn't even have to give them that definition. These leaders knew exactly what we were talking about.
I mean, I felt the same way when I read this, because I've been a manager in many different companies for a long period of time, and the word toxic just absolutely encapsulates some of the problems that I've run into with folks. It is people who gossip. It is people who make it harder for other people to get their jobs done. It is folks who like to play political games, go around, pit people against each other. I mean, I could give you specifics and names, but I'm not going to, because I value my contacts over the years. But those types of people just absolutely drag down not just the people that were immediately around them, but everybody, because they saw how that was going on. They said, well, if they can get away with that, why can't I?
Well, you know, Mike, what's interesting is that in the descriptions that you made are very similar to the descriptions that we found from our interviewees and as Mitch mentioned, our survey. And yet, there's not a lot of literature or talk about people who engage in these passive-aggressive behaviors. Most of our policies and laws and what HR is looking out for is those kinds of aggressive behaviors that meet the threshold of abuse or harassment. And really, the things that kind of nibble away at a person's productivity and morale are team sabotage and shaming and passive aggression. And all of these categories of behaviors are what we found in our study to be most troublesome to leaders and to really bring down the bottom line. Mitch?
Yeah, and one of the interesting things about bringing down the bottom line, we'd like to talk about, and we will in our session, is that we'll be addressing the bottom line in terms of financial perspectives, as well as the bottom line in terms of human resource perspectives. What we are really about is creating organizations of respectful engagement. And one of the things that we found in our research is that most of the literature and the research out there on toxic personalities address what you do one-on-one with a toxic person, essentially give them feedback. And the results from our research indicate something entirely different. Feedback is actually one of the last steps you do. What every professional needs to do, including leaders, is look at the systems that allow toxicity to continue in their organizations.
What are some of the systems that we need to look at that will affect how much toxicity that we're going to have, or how many toxic people get into the system?
Well, we have developed a system of intervention, Mike, that includes three levels. One is at the organizational level and looking at the kinds of ways that you can intervene in the overall system. And some of those include looking at the hiring and how you go about hiring and how you really select these people up from the beginning. Another one is performance appraisal and how you set up your performance appraisal so that you don't tolerate these kinds of behaviors. And, of course, it's also about having values that will translate into respectful engagement. In fact, one of the things that I was speaking to a colleague yesterday in England, and one of the things the British government has just done is put out a white paper on dignity at work. And that's really what we're talking about. We have two other levels of our interventions are at the team level and the kinds of interventions that can be done so that teams learn how to behave together in a way that promotes morale and a sense of respect for one another. And then finally at the individual level that include interventions that are about feedback, are about coaching, but are about getting 360 feedback. But really the best way those work are when they are a part of the larger organizational values of respectful engagement.
Yeah, that's right, Elizabeth. And one of the things that we found is that there's another intersection here. So exactly what Elizabeth said is it's the organizational team and individual levels of providing interventions. But the interventions can be divided, if you think of it as a matrix. So you've got these three on your x-axis, the organizational, the team, and the individual. And on the y-axis, you've got proactive and reactive. So one of the things that we're going to be addressing at this keynote address is what are the proactive strategies that reduce the intensity or the frequency of toxicity in the organization, and secondly, what are the reactive things leaders can do and HR professionals can do and training and development professionals can do such that you intervene now that you have this toxic individual or this toxic environment. So we'll be addressing both. It's the intersection of the proactive and the reactive with organizational team and individual levels of interventions.
I was looking through the notes that are on the ASTD website about your presentation, and one of them that struck me, and I said, boy, I really want to hear this, is what happens if your brilliant star is toxic? And, I mean, this is in the broadcasting industry. You know, you have many egos and personalities, like, you know, you've got your Larry Kings and people who have large egos, and sometimes that rubs people the wrong way. Sometimes they may do other things that rub people the wrong way, but a lot of those people just get away with it because they are the driving force that's making the company successful. How do you I really want to know the answer to that question.
I'm smiling. I suppose Elizabeth is smiling as well because we hear that from so many of our clients. And let me take a first shot at that, Mike, because it's an excellent question. We envision the toxic person as the tip of the iceberg. So if you will, you have at the surface the toxic individual. But what most leaders don't realize are the effects of their toxicity. One alone is that in several large-scale studies, the productivity of the organization around the toxic individual is reduced from 15 to 20%. There's less volunteerism in the organization for assignments. And the cost of recruiting an individual because of the individuals or the victims of the toxic individual who leaves is anywhere from 1.5 to 2.5 times their salary, and anywhere from 12 to 20% of individuals leave the organization because of the toxic individual. So subsequently, you can now see the aftermath of the toxic person. So what they bring into the organization in terms of increased sales, more clients, whatever it is negated by the long-term effects of the toxic person.
You know, another effect which really brings up the whole issue of the systems approach as well is the effect that this person has on other members of the team, not just because they're suffering from that person's behavior, but because they start to take on behaviors that are toxic in themselves. Maybe not as severe, but in fact, they're trying to accommodate what's going on, and before you know it, they're avoiding, they're backbiting, they're spending their time talking around the used to be the cooler, now the espresso machine. And so now you have this whole system of toxicity. And then even when you remove the toxic person, these individuals in the team unit have not changed their behavior. And so one of our interventions is also about team healing and how to change those counterproductive behaviors that have been adaptive for the team members into behaviors that are constructive and productive for the individual and the organization.
So that's really about trying to reshape the culture after you've removed the toxic person so it's back to where you wanted it.
Exactly.
Back to neutral.
back to something that works, we hope.
Yes, yes, absolutely.
You're going to be speaking. You're the featured speaker at our conference on November 12th. What's the bottom line for people when they go to this session that you're going to do? What are we going to be able to walk away with coming out of that session that we couldn't do before we went in?
Well, what we want is for people to understand, number one, they can't go it alone. All the books that tell them, here's how to answer the toxic behavior. Here's how you can combat it affecting you. In the long run, those don't work. What works is a system approach, and if that system approach will help the leadership of the organization to feel more in control and more powerful in dealing with people who are really behaving very badly. So we want people to have take-home strategies about how to deal with this kind of problem in their organization, their teams.
Yeah, and specific take-home strategies would be, hopefully there'll be some insights in terms of what you yourself are doing to contribute to the toxicity in the organization. When we do these seminars, most people have a sense that they have this aha, that, you know what, I wonder what I've been doing to contribute to this. Exactly what you said, Mike, based on productivity, and our research indicates there are a fair number of toxic people who are highly productive. Not all of them, but a fair number are. So subsequently, what are you doing to encourage that individual to be there? And so that's the first piece. And the second practical application that Elizabeth just mentioned, the specific here, is not only what are you doing to enable that behavior, But secondly, as training and development and human resource professionals, what are you doing to look at your existing systems and how either these systems, such as what Elizabeth said, your 360-degree feedback process, your performance appraisal process, how that actually can encourage toxicity and what you need to do to change those systems around to bring about respectful engagement in the organization. And we'll tackle all these things in our keynote address.
Now, you both have a book coming out very soon that we're probably going to be interested in getting. Can you tell me about that?
I will. Mitch and I took the two-year study that we did on toxic personalities in the workplace, and we wrote up our findings about that in our book called Toxic Workplace, Managing Toxic Personalities and Systems of Power. And included in that are the kinds of strategies we've been talking today about the interview. How do you make a difference around this problem in your own organization, proactively and reactively? So we're really hoping that people will find something in it that they can use back home in their own organizations. In fact, Mike, a lot of what we're talking about today in this interview are the very things that we have in the book.
Well, I'm looking forward to this because I think both of you have keyed in on something that's very, very has a huge impact on organizations, a huge impact on productivity, and a huge impact on the success of any group of people or company. So I really want to hear how you go through and we kind of get those ahas, that self-diagnosis of what our problems may be and how we can go ahead and solve them. I think this is going to be great stuff. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, we're looking forward to it.
Yeah, we hope everyone is as enthusiastic as you are, Mike, and I'm sure they're going to be.
Well, we're looking forward to seeing both of you on November 12th, and if you haven't already, make sure that you're registered, and we'll look forward to seeing everybody at the conference.
Terrific.
Thanks, Mike.
Thanks.
Thank you.